But first, some state attorneys general are starting to take a closer look at-home rape kits. Those in New York and Michigan have ordered companies to cease and desist. The idea behind the products, with names like Me Too Kit and Preserve Kit, is that victims of sexual assault can collect evidence at home rather than having to go somewhere to have a traditional evidence collection kit administered. But critics, including law enforcement officials, medical professionals, and victims' advocates, worry the at-home kits will hurt victims rather than help them. With me to talk more about this is attorney Flynn Carey with the Phoenix firm Mitchell Stein Carey Chapman. He focuses on criminal defense, including defending people accused of sexual assault. And Flynn, first off, what do you make of these at-home kits? Is this a good thing that should be on the market, do you think?
I think this is one of those rare instances where the prosecution and the defense appear to be fairly aligned in that there's not a path for this to be admissible in court. I think it's highly problematic. And my concern is both the potential for false allegations, but also for people who are legitimately victims of sexual assault. Utilizing a home kit may actually compromise or severely impact their ability to seek prosecution.
So what you're saying is that if somebody gets and uses one of these at-home kits, it could then preclude them from going somewhere else and getting, I guess for lack of a better word, a professional test?
Well, I think it could certainly impact the state of whatever evidence is available. First of all, not every sexual assault or every sexual abuse will leave evidence, but there are instances where evidence will be left. There are kits that are used by law enforcement to gather that evidence. I think that testing at home could certainly introduce contamination and could certainly impact the state of evidence. And it could definitely affect a subsequent exam.
One of the big issues seems to be the chain of custody. And this kind of goes to the admissibility issue, right? That if you do a test at home, there's really no way to prove, A, that you did it correctly, that you did it the way that it's supposed to be done, and that you are the only person who has had it from the time you did it until it gets to a lab or to where it's going, right?
Well, absolutely. When I'm defending a case, I'm always paying attention to how a piece of evidence came into possession of law enforcement or someone who's in the role of law enforcement, like a forensic nurse, all the way through the lab testing process. I'm looking at how the information was gathered, how it was packaged, who it was given to, and I want to be able to trace a progression from the person's body all the way through till it was lab tested. And when you do testing at home, you are taking steps out of that chain of custody.
Is there a way, do you think, to do a test like this where it could be admissible? Like, is there any way that you can think of where somebody who is a victim of sexual assault or sexual abuse doesn't have to go to a hospital or an urgent care or a place like that where they could do something at home?
My concern is always that there's no guarantee. I don't think that there is a process by which someone can engage in a highly technical area of forensic evidence collection without any training and expect that that's going to become admissible. So my concern is always this is a scientific process, and I understand and I sympathize with the fact that this is an invasive process. But the solution is not to lessen the science. The solution instead is to make the process more user-friendly and more comfortable for a victim.
Are there ways you think that that could happen where if somebody has to go to a facility to have this kind of test done, that it can be maybe a little more compassionate, a little less invasive, or a little less impersonal?
Absolutely. I mean, there are instances, for instance, in Arizona, we have something called Child Help. We have other centers, they're called family advocacy centers that run generally by law enforcement, where the setting is more, it feels more like a doctor's office. It feels more like a less sterile setting. And that's really one way to soften some of the apprehension that a victim may have. But it's a systemic change that has to happen in how we treat that process. The solution is never to skimp on the science for the purpose of trying to make someone feel better, because ultimately, I think there's a net damage to someone who has a legitimate claim of sexual assault.
Do you have a sense of how prevalent these at-home kits are? Like, are people using these?
I have not encountered a situation where someone has used one in any matter that I've worked on. From what I've read, it sounds like a lot of these are still in development phase, and they aren't publicly available to the consumer. I'm also not aware of, in any case law, an instance where someone has used one of these kits and there was a, for instance, a court of appeals decision about the viability of that kit.
All right. That's Attorney Flynn Carey. Flynn, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.